Welcome to Wealth on Main Street, where conversations about growing your wealth are fun and entertaining. Wealth isn't just about money. It's the skills and the knowledge that we develop to pass on to future generations. Tune in each week to grow your mindset and your net worth at the same time. All right, welcome back to Wealth on Main Street. We are joined today by John Zeitfeld, a gentleman who started working before most kids knew how to tie their shoes. He's worked paycheck to paycheck. He saved pennies only to watch them disappear. And for decades, he thought that life insurance was really just another scam. But at the age of 82, he's discovered something obviously incredibly powerful. And it's a fire. It's led him to own 5 policies all in under a year. And so the story that we're going to walk through today with John is going to be amazing. Stick around, because this conversation is going to be one that might flip the switch for you too. And so if you've ever felt like your bank account has a hole in it, today's guest has been there, except he's found a patch and a way to get it patched with a policy, or in John's case, 5. Welcome to the show, John. It's a pleasure to have you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I haven't got the 5th one yet. It's on its way.
You've delivered newspapers, milk, groceries, and now at a young age of 82, you're delivering a lesson, I think, that most people never learn. And so what flipped the switch for you and got you to say yes to implementing this process after saying no to life insurance for so long? I'm genuinely curious.
Oh, well, I've always looked on insurance as, you know, you think back to Chicago and those areas, and you hear about what was his name? There's one Dutch, and there was a anyway, they're all crooks, but their whole life was insurance. They sold insurance, and if you didn't buy, well, we help you out to make sure that you needed insurance. You know. And so insurance is
that's one way to go about building an agency.
Exactly. So that was, so insurance wasn't very good when I thought about insurance.
That reminds me, John, of something that Nelson Nash used to say. He would say that the best actuaries actually are from Sicily. They can tell you not only when someone's going to die, but they can tell you where the body is going to be buried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. Exactly. You know, that kind of insurance I didn't want to deal with. And it's I have found that that's basically what insurance is, you know, like car insurance. You know, we'll sell you car insurance. If you don't buy it, we'll fix your car. Yeah, you want insurance? No, you want insurance. So, no, insurance has been bad, but I know that I had house insurance problems. And after paying into it for something like 13 years, I needed the insurance. I had the adjuster came, he wrote everything up. He says, no problem. And a week later, I got a notice from the insurance company, your insurance is canceled. And they sent me a check for that 1 year's payment that I had made. But they forgot about the other 12 years. They kept that. And so I wasn't covered. And all because of one little clause that was in there, which I answered correctly, but they found out that it was not for my use. And that was a fire hydrant within 1,000 feet of my house. There was a fire hydrant there, but it didn't cover anything. And just because of that, and then so it had nothing to do with a fire. But so that was my last issue with insurance, and that's it. No more.
So, well, let's shift gears. So take us back to, you know, getting your first bike with your own money. What did that teach you about value and effort?
Oh, a lot. I used to, Okay, well, I know you're all familiar with Save-On Foods. Mm-hmm. Pattison, Jimmy Pattison. Yep. Okay, before he started Save-On Foods, he used to drive school bus. He used to pick me up at my home and take me to school. I used to deliver newspapers to his house. Mm. And I know exactly how he got into it was neon lights. And his uncle had a Duig on Broadway in Vancouver. And he ended up getting that because he bought into the neon business. He always lost his shirt. But I mean, that started him off. And then the next thing you know, he got Save-On Foods and everything else. So yeah, at doing all that and my bike riding, I covered, Richard might know, I was in Aldergrove.
Okay. Yeah.
You're Chilliwack, no, or Chilliwack or Abbotsford.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was in Aldergrove at the time, and I drove all those streets. I went down to the border. I crossed the border, delivered papers on the other side of the border, and then come back. You know, no questions asked. And you know, up and down the hills there, and it was hard on the bike. And those times, and at that time, the bikes didn't have 3-speed. They were just the 1-speed. Either you pedaled or you walked. So yeah, they wore out pretty quick. On so I would say in the in years that I delivered papers, 5 years that I delivered papers, I must have gone through a bike every year and a half at least. Wow. And it was hard on them. I learned a value, and. Besides doing that, I used to save pennies at the same time to try and make. Yeah, I never got very far. After about a week, I found out I didn't have enough pennies to make ends meet because it doubled. You know,
yeah,
it didn't work. Not for me. So yeah. So, but it was fun. I learned that you don't get nothing without effort.
Mm. That is really powerful and so true.
Yeah. And I was living on with my family. We were farming dairy cattle. And that was a job too. I get up in the morning, milk the cows, go to school, come home, not even come home, just do the newspapers, then come home, and then supper, milk the cows again, bed. no time for play. That was it. That was life. Yeah.
So. That's I think there's so many people that have that story and that experience, certainly in the farming realm. And, it's just kind of the way of life. And to a lot of degree, it still is like that. Just not necessarily for everybody. What's interesting, you talk about the value of work and putting the time in. Yeah. And you would have had to do that, John, along the way when you finally discovered, you know, this book, Becoming Your Own Banker. I'm sure that you had to put in some time and some effort there on your reading and learning. And based on your previous experience that you'd had with insurance in general, there was some reframing and some rethinking that needed to take place for you to be able to decide that this was a path that you wanted to go down. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah. 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 What happens when we, my daughter was telling me, she says, you know, I heard about this, and she was telling me all about it. And I said, yeah, sounds too good to be true. It's, you know, so, that was, around 2020, so COVID hit. And, I looked at it and I said, no, I said, that can't be right. You know, that's. And she mentioned, well, it's got something to do with buying insurance. And I said, well, if there's insurance involved, forget it. That's, you know, that was just it. And then she got me to look at the
probably some of the Banker's Vault videos.
Banker's Vault, yeah, that's the one. And I looked at them, and I there was the one that where Sarblow was about, you know, how you save money. You spend it, like, you know, you save your money, you spend it, you back down to zero, you save money, you back down to zero. And I thought, yeah, he's right on, you know, you save money and you save money to buy things, and once you buy it, you're broke. And so then he started talking about this, and I thought, well, this, that doesn't sound like buying insurance. You know, that just sounds like saving money. Yeah, but how do you keep that money? You know, because that's what he was talking about. You know, you keep that money, you don't lose it. And so when I saw the whole video, and I thought, okay. And then that's when I got more and more into the videos and watching and all that. And then we got talking to Sarblo, and I already had made arrangements with him to get my first policy and everything going. And he says, well, have you read the book? I says, no, I know all about it, but I haven't read it. I haven't got it. So he sent me a copy. I got it.
All right.
And I read it, I don't know how many times. And I think I got the message.
And so, John, what would you say? I'm curious, what would you say to someone half your age who thinks it's too late to start?
Well, the whole thing is that the idea of saving money, you know, everybody likes to save money, and they know that saving is for a purpose, you know, to buy something, and then, you know, like, you know, okay, fine, then you spend and it's gone. So how do you hang on to it? How do you hang on to that value, that money? That's the thing. And so here you have an opportunity of where you don't really lose your money. It's, I don't like to use the word investment, and I don't like to use the words of buying insurance either, but it's a concept, right?
Right.
It's a vehicle that you use to put your wealth in or put your money in, and it just keeps going. And so you borrow against what you have in there. So unlike stocks, because when you buy stocks, you buy part of a company and you get a profit. Here, you're buying part of a company, because that's basically what you're doing with the insurance here. You're buying a part of the company, but you're getting your dividends, and you can, and your personal money that you have in there just keeps growing. So as you borrow money against it, you're profiting, right? There's a profit all around. And that's what really got me interested, because I had some debts that I wanted to pay. Mm-hmm. And I had the money in the account for it, in my savings account. And I kept thinking, well, if I take it out and pay off my car, I won't have anything. So that's when I talked to Sarblo and I got my first policy. And I did not realize that he was dating it back a year. Mm-hmm. So, and that's actually the kicker, because the very fact that he did that within 2 months, well, actually, within 3 months, I had enough money. I made two loans, one after the other. I got one loan, paid it off, and got another loan within 3 months and paid off my car.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, and that's because he backdated mine. It took all my savings plus a little more, but that's what happened. And so I'm still paying on my car, but in a different way.
It's going to my bank. To a system, you get to reuse the capital again.
Yeah, it's going to my bank, see?
Opus Bank.
What? As Opus Bank. Yeah.
I love that. Opus Bank.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah.
So good. That is so good. And congratulations too. And so if you were speaking to somebody watching this video or listening on, you know, their podcast app, mm-hmm. and they were either just beginning to investigate this concept, or maybe they've investigated it and they're sort of sitting on the fence, what would you say to that person heart to heart?
Well, for one thing, Yeah. Read the book. Get the book and read it. Because Nelson, you know, it might be a little hard to understand at first, but he was right on. And the examples that he uses, and there really makes a person think. Like, you have to rethink your thinking, you know. And Nelson said that too. You have to rethink your thinking. Like young people today, they don't seem to really have much of an idea in regards to saving money.
Mm. Oh, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, you know, you got. I know from experience with my kids, you give them $100 and they go blow it. And they say, well, why didn't you save it? Oh, I got another check coming next week. Okay. But you haven't got it yet, but you've already spent it. Where's the, you know, people have to change their thinking. But the, my whole thing is there that if you want to save money, this is a way to do it. The whole IBC concept there, the money, because the money is always there and it keeps growing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to run to the bank. If you need to take a loan from it, you request it. And my experience was that within 3 days, I had the loan. Mm. And yep. You pay it back as you go. It's nice if you could pay it monthly, but if you can't, you know, you pay it back as you go. And if you don't pay it back, well, in this case there's the life insurance part that kicks in. So there's money, always money there. It's just the only thing is there that if you take all your money out and you borrow it or you make a loan on it, you're going to have to wait for a while to build up again. It's not going to be back automatically. You got to, you know, wait for it. So paying it back, like I already mentioned, I used to work in a grocery store, so I know all about the peas. I've seen the peas go out the back door. Yeah. So you got to replace the peas, right? So keep that shelf stocked. And it only makes sense. My kids had a hard time explaining it to a couple of them. My oldest daughter, the one that got me looking at this, there she's got her policies. I explained it to my wife, and I figured I was going to really have a hard time there. And she just says, "Why didn't you do that earlier?" And I said, okay.
Boy, that was, I bet you felt, you know, obviously great to hear.
But that, right? Big.
And, you know, John, given that you've lived, you know, you've lived through a lot, right? You've seen a lot of inflation. You've seen economic crashes. You've seen wars, you know, all of these things that you've lived through. How does the infinite banking concept measure up to all the other financial advice that you've received over the years?
Well, I believe you're the one that mentioned it about how, in this case, the life insurance has never failed.
Right.
All these years, it's always been a positive. It's never been in the negative. Mm-hmm. And I checked that out, and you're right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So that was a plus on my scale.
So if you sort of contrast the infinite banking concept and everything that you've learned about it and what you've already experienced this early in your implementation of it, accessing policy loans, accelerating the repayment of debt, knowing that your cash value is growing daily uninterrupted by policy loans, how does that compare to the financial advice that you've received over the years up to to this point in your life?
Yeah, right. Well, what I have found is that already mentioned, like I've always lived from paycheck to paycheck. So I'm used to hard times. So it's not that. But what I have found is that here now, the very fact that I have four policies that I can draw from, I've only taken a loan on the one. So the other ones are backup. But if I need it, I can request it and I have money. So it's not a matter of going to the bank and fighting and arguing about whether I can borrow $1,000 because they look at, well, you don't have the income to pay us back, so we can't give you the money. And here, I don't have to worry about that. I have the money is there. I can borrow the money and come my payday, and that depends upon the government. And then when my payday comes, I can pay it back. I don't have to worry about it. So my whole idea of money is completely changed. You know, I used to, when you only get so much, and if you have a regular job, you know, you work an extra hour, you get a little overtime, or you get a little extra, you know, you get a few extra dollars, or you can go on and do another little job on the side. I can't do that anymore. So I have to wait. I was going to say Uncle Sam, but it's not Uncle Sam. But anyway, I have to wait what I get from the government every month in order to be able to pay my bills and so forth. But now I really don't care.
Hmm.
And I only got the four policies, and I don't have $1 million in there. The smallest one has only got $1,000 in there that I could borrow, but it don't matter. It's there. And the most that I would really need right now is maybe an extra $3,000, and it's there. I don't have to worry about it. It's there.
Well, Nelson, you know, he's come up a lot today in our podcast interviews. Sure. And as he always does, you know, credit to him. And one of the things that we mentioned, we were just down in Birmingham at the Nelson Nash Institute Coaching Academy, where Richard and I and a few of our colleagues, we work alongside each other in coaching agents from across North America. And Nelson often said, what a peaceful, stress-free way of life it is when you get the banks out of your life. How does that statement land with you, given what you've experienced so far?
Absolutely. Absolutely true. I believe on one of the podcasts, you mentioned it, that you get to a point with ICB where suddenly, instead of you going to the bank to ask for money, they see your success and now they come to you. How would you like to borrow money? See, and I have that. I get a letter at least once a month that your credit is so good. Would you like to borrow some money? We'll give it to you for 10 months interest free. You know,
shocker.
But I got no bills now. I don't need them now.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's so incredible, John, that again, I would say 82 years young, and you're experiencing life in a way that you're really showing up here in an experience, I think, with us today. And there's something about knowing that there's always something new to learn. I think that's so powerful. And you've obviously taken that in, you know, despite whatever your past experiences were with insurance or everything else, you were willing and prepared and open to be open-minded and explore an opportunity that could make an impact in your life. And then you made the decision to move forward, which only you could do. And I think that it's so important to recognize that it doesn't matter where you are in life, what age you claim to be or feel that you are, there's always this potential that exists within us. And one thing I'm really excited about, and I imagine you are, but I want to hear from you on this, is that, you know, thankfully your oldest daughter suggested that you go down this route and do a little bit of research. But now you have a communication mechanism, at least with her, about what you guys are doing financially that's different. And I would imagine that creates a new experience for you, you know, as a father in conversation with your daughter. And I'm just curious, is there anything that comes up for you when you think about that, the ability that you guys have now to communicate about something common, a common language that Nelson provided for you guys to bond around?
I don't talk with my oldest daughter too much about this right now. I mean, she's got her policies, and she's working with that. She's too busy with her work as well for us to really sit down too much, except for that she helps me out when. But I have my youngest daughter. I got her a policy on her, and also my grandchildren from her. So, we talk all the time. Mm. And Sarblo sent me an invitation to watch a video, and on that he had in the back of it. On there, he had a little blurb about how important money is in our lives, and it was so good that I actually copied it, because it, you know, he says money is so important in our lives. Why is that? Why is it the one thing that nobody talks about growing up?
Mm. Yeah,
such a question, you know, and it's so true. I went over the whole thing and I thought, yeah, why don't people talk about money? And you know, we're my kids too. I know when I was a kid, money, taboo. You don't talk about money. You know, it's like religion and politics. You don't mention that to anybody. That's, you know, whatever they want, that's fine. You don't talk about it. And it's the same thing about money. But why not? You know. We do. No matter where you go, money is required. Mm-hmm. Whether it's plastic or whether it's cash or you know, whatever, or credit card, money is involved one way or another. You do everything with money. So I can see the importance of talking over it, but very few people do. I am just starting to get into that with my kids, the grandchildren, and. I have one grandson who he wants to implement this himself, but he hasn't got the money to do it. But and I told him I would help him out because I have the finances now that I could help him out and get him started on it. But he has to come up with the rest of it. So, yeah.
That's so good. And John, you know, you've heard the expression that you can't buy back time.
No.
But you, what you've done is you've bought back control.
I bought back control. Yeah.
And so as you really, you know, think about that, how do you hope that your story gives other people courage to do that?
I classify what I have done successful. I've been going from paycheck to paycheck. I've had many good jobs, some that have paid me excellent money. But where is it? You know, it's all gone. And the only thing that I have is what I managed to save out of all that. And even when you calculate as to how much you save, once you get into IBC, you find out as to how much you lost too, because you might have saved $10,000, but in order to have that $10,000, you probably lost $7,000 on the side, and either in interest that you didn't get or dividends that you didn't get. I used to buy stocks, lost my shirt on that, because that's not the way to go. So, IVC is the whole concept. It's a way to take control of your finances in your life. And I would suggest that to anybody, no matter what your age. At my age, it doesn't pay to buy insurance, life insurance on myself, but there's nothing to stop me from buying a policy on the rest of my family. They're still, you know, I can still get policies on them. And the dividends, and I don't mean the dividends that you get from the company, but the satisfaction, if I can use that word, the satisfaction of just knowing that you're in a position where you can help your family, you know, and if they are willing to learn how to handle their money properly, and certainly IBC is one way of doing it, the only way of doing it, if they're willing to learn that, then they got a future ahead of them as long as the system will let them.
A future so bright they'll have to wear shades?
Yeah. You say that. Yeah, it's bright. Yeah. Yeah. But it was an eye opener to me. And I'm sure that there's a lot of clients that you have that will say the same thing there. Why did I not do this 20 years ago? Because those who have, and well, like yourself too, you know, you're not looking back.
It reminds us of something one of our other late mentors used to say, Bob Shields, again, another wonderful man. And, you know, we think about him all the time and bring him up each time something like this comes up. And he, when we first met him, he was in his early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he said, one of the things that you'll hear a lot is people ask, what if I had known about this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? And Bob would always reply with the same thing. You can't say that 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years from now.
That's right.
Because you know what you know. And one of the things that I would, and I know that Rich is likely thinking the same, I would encourage anybody watching or listening to just really, really take a moment and sit with what you just heard John share. This is a man he's worked his whole life. He delivered newspapers as a kid, milk as a young man, groceries as a father. He swept school floors. He stretched every dollar. He lived the story that, you know, so many Canadians know too well. You work hard, you hope it's enough, and you pray that you make it to retirement. And then at 82 years young, he's changing the ending. He's discovered that control is possible. Legacy is possible. Peace of mind isn't just for the wealthy or for the young. And he never lost the ability to be receptive to learning something new and to think differently. And so, speaking for myself personally, I mean, if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will, because the truth is we don't rise to the level of our income. I think what John's been trying to convey so eloquently and amazing, John, you've been an incredible guest, is that we rise to our level of thinking. And today, this interview, we saw what's possible when somebody decides to stop renting their financial future and to start owning it. And so my question for anybody watching or listening is, will you wait until it's too late, or will you start building the bigger financial future that you deserve today? John, this has been incredible.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I feel bad that I didn't start earlier, but I'm glad I did start what I did. Yeah. It would have been nice if it was 2020. It'd be a different story today. But yeah, like you say, 10 years from now, if I'm still here, at least I can say I didn't start it.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
Rich?
Yeah. You know, impact of course, being in a retired state. Again, we have people who often will say things to us or ask questions, John. They'll say, well, what am I going to do, or how am I going to pay premium when I'm retired? How am I going to continue funding my system when I'm retired? And Jason's common response to that is like, well, you still need the use of money, don't you? You're still going to be banking someplace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think here you've identified and really showcased that that is the truth. That is the real reality of life, and you're experiencing it, and you being retired, you're receiving a retirement income, and you're still creating a future bigger than your past.
Yep. Yep. When I started this, September, no, July, June, July. So we're just approaching the 1 year. I had a total of 9,000 in my savings, and I had two separate little accounts where I was putting in $25 and $50 a month, just kind of money that I managed to kind of sneak out of my, you know, my daily allowance, let's say. And anyway, that built up to the point there that when I got my first policy, that within 1 month, I made my first payment on my car. I paid it back the next month, and then the month after that. And the reason I paid it back the next month is because those other two matured. So I had the extra thousands of dollars coming from that, which I could use. So, you know, those are my pennies that I saved. See, they finally accumulated enough there that I could use them. So the thing is there that on my third month, I managed to get the loan, my second loan. I paid my car off. And today, I managed to get enough money so that I could borrow or I lend money for myself so I could buy another policy. And then I got my two grandchildren on another policies. And I'm working on a granddaughter to get another policy, number 5. And I got a grandson that I'm trying to work on. But the thing is there, when you balance it out, that's the thing you have to learn to do or have to know how to do, because I could keep borrowing, but then I won't have anything to pay it back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it's gone.
Yeah.
Because so I have to make sure that, you know, I keep my my balance between what I borrow, what I have to pay back, and what I'm buying. I got those three. Plus I have to live in between. Mm-hmm.
That's important.
That's important.
It makes sure you live a long time too, because this, you know, again, at 82 years young, John, I mean, this is not about age. It's about awakening.
Yeah.
And you finally have a future that's under your control. The things that you just described, you're in a position of total and absolute control. And Nelson often said that it's never too late to get into the banking business.
Yeah.
And so I can't implore viewers and listeners enough, like, stop just surviving and start owning. There's a concept, a process, a method of going about doing that gradually and incrementally. And it's never too late to get started on owning the bigger future that you deserve versus just surviving. Right, Rich?
Yeah. And there's something else that you identified, John, that I really want to make sure our listeners take away and connect with. It's something that we also have mentioned on, you know, geez, I can't even count how many times, Jason, and all the presentations and things that we've done. I remember doing this on the whiteboard, you know, and some, you know, some of the different, you know, boot camps that we used to do, and making the statement that car payments never end. And, you know, here we are, we're talking to John. John's was making car payments. He's obliterated. He's still making them, but he's making them back to a system of control and ownership, which is what we're working towards. And it makes me think of the twin sister example on page 45 of Nelson's book. Mm-hmm. You know, in that example, there's 11 car purchases over a lifespan. And the final car purchase happens at around age, I think, 68. And you know, Nelson, the only reason he didn't keep doing it is because it would have squished all the numbers even smaller to make the chart any bigger on the page, right? So he knew that they were still going. And by the way, John, you may not have known this, but on that page, on page 45, the car financing package is $10,550. That's the trade-in value for a Chevy Malibu that his wife Mary used to like to drive. And so they would trade in the existing car, and the financing package dollar amount was $10,550. So that's why Nelson used that number in the book. Okay. So he used a real world, real life example for himself, and he put it to work in the book for us all to see, essentially. And these are like the little things kind of in the background that I always connect me to Nelson. And I can see so much of that in you and your story, in that we help people and we try to help young people of all different walks of life, recognize that, look, you need the use of a car one way or another. You're either using yours or you're using someone else's, you're leasing it or you're renting it, or you borrowing from someone else to get access to it, and you're paying them forever. Meanwhile, that car is going to eventually expire and you're going to need to replace it. Like, these are just the fundamental truths in our life. And the fact that you're able to have the autonomy that you've taken on by changing positions with another bank for the use of the car that you're driving today, and that at 82, you still need that car. I mean, people need to recognize that that is the truth.
Yep. Eat it, not a walk.
Well, John, I have a question that's come up, you know, just recently in the conversation, and I try to just think about how I can frame it. I really want to know, like, how does it feel? How does it feel to know that, you know, after all these decades of serving others, that you've finally done something that serves you?
Pretty good. Yeah. Very satisfying. Wish I could have done more, but you know, you can't look in the past. What's back there, that's gone. You got to look towards the future. And you know, it's not the idea of being rich or you know, my intent is not to be a millionaire or anything, but to be able to control my money as to where it goes, how it goes, and not run out. I have always, everything I've always done, by buying something, it has to be able to pay for itself. The bicycles that we were talking about on my papers, they had to pay for themselves. They did. They helped me deliver papers. I made money on that. They had to pay for themselves. You know, anything you do, if the money that you have, you can have $1 million. You put it in the bank and it just sits there. It's not doing you any good. The bank's making money, but it's not doing you any good. So, you know, put it to work. How do you put it to work? Well, here's a vehicle that you can put it in, and you're putting it to work. Other people, they use it to buy stocks. They put it in the stock market. Yeah, today they make money, tomorrow they lose money on it. And that's the way the stocks go. But here you're buying part of a company, because really that's what you're doing. By buying, putting insurance in there, you're buying part of the company. The company pays you dividends every year. And depending as to how much profit they've made, you know, that calculates as to how much of a dividend you're going to get. But there's always a return. Plus the very factor that the money that you have sitting in there, it's still yours. Now, you can't take it out like that and use it, because it's there to pay for the life insurance, but you can borrow against it and you're in control. You borrow for the value that it builds up every day. It increases every day. You borrow against it. You can pay it back as you go. Or if you don't pay it back, well, it comes out of the life insurance in the end. That means that whoever collects or supposed to collect the insurance when that person reaches maturity or graduates or whatever you want to call it, the insurance just gets reduced because of what you didn't pay. But you got the money. You are in control. And that's what counts to me.
Take us home, Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope that that's to my kids too. So,
yeah, love it, John. Thank you for being with us today, and we appreciate you sharing your story, sharing what's true for you. And I do believe that, you know, when we get a chance for this to air, you'll certainly show up as a hero to a number of people who can see perspective through mm-hmm. your lens and through running it through their own eyes. And so the question we have for you is, who would you most wish to be a hero to?
Do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, John, for our listeners on the driving in their cars, he's got a mug that says "Best Dad Ever" that he's holding up.
Yeah, my kids, they love me. They've already made me their hero, so we'll keep that going.
Fantastic, John. Absolutely incredible. Again, thanks so much for your time and for being with us and sharing with us you know, so much of your amazing story. For those of you, of course, tuning in on the YouTubes, you may notice this. It's common for a lot of videos that they just pop up an amazing one that's a recommendation. So you should see that right now. And if you click on it, you're going to get more great knowledge. So don't let us stop you. Go ahead and click that link and continue that ever important journey of learning. John, thanks so much for being with us. Jason, I appreciate you. For those of you tuning in, we'll continue our incredible stories next week.